So, you know, every neighborhood has that guy who leaves his outdoor Christmas lights up all year, right? And, you know, part of my thought is that if those lights are still up on the 4th of July, you should just leave them up. I mean, once you reach kind of, you know, halfway, like there's no point in bringing them down. Just leave them. Are you that guy? I see a couple of hands. Your neighbors might wish that you weren't that guy, but you know, I mean, if you ornamented your tree this holiday season, you know, your tree, well, you're going to be taking it out of the house soon, right? And if you ornamented your house, well, those lights are going to come down soon, most likely. Your car, those antlers are going to come off of your car probably sometime this week. But if you ornamented your life, that's always in season. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the so-called hidden years of Jesus. Have you ever heard that expression, the hidden years? It's an expression that people use to describe the time between Jesus' birth and his baptism and the beginning of his public ministry. I went to Amazon.com and did a search for, you know, the hidden years of Jesus, and like 405 results came up. There are lots and lots of books that claim to be able to tell you all about the so-called hidden years. Some of those books are classified as fiction, which is good because they don't know any more than what the Bible tells us about the so-called hidden years. But others of them claim to have all kinds of secret information about that period of time in Jesus' life. There's a lot that we don't know about those years, but much of what we do, we find right here in Luke chapter 2. So we're going to be looking at three scenes this morning. In two, Jesus is an infant, but in the third, he's an adolescent. So we want to ornament our lives. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to talk about this. Father, I do just pray that you would give us insight into these verses in Luke. And I pray that as we study together, this could be sort of a pivot point. On the one hand, we're still thinking about Christmas. We're still thinking, Father, about the birth of your son, Jesus. But we're also thinking about the new year, Lord, as we transition from the holidays to 2022 and with this sense of anticipation that you're wanting to do something special in and through our lives and through our churches. Just speak to us through these verses, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we want to talk first about ornamenting our lives with new mentalities. New mentalities. Luke chapter 2, look with me at verse 41. It says, his parents, Jesus' parents, went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. So, you know, actually we're in that third story. There's the two where he's an infant, but we're looking at that third story where he's an adolescent. You guys may know that there were three great annual feasts that they celebrated every year. There were others, but three that were considered the great feasts. There was Passover, where they celebrated the exodus from Egypt, you know, after 400 years as slaves, this event in which God freed them from slavery in Egypt. And then there was Pentecost, which was sort of a harvest festival, not unlike Thanksgiving for us, which we just celebrated a month ago, right? And then there was also the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is where they commemorated the 40 years of wilderness wanderings and how they basically tent camped for 40 years. Of those three, though, of those three great annual feasts, the greatest was Passover. And so for Passover, you know, obviously you had, you know, all of Jewish men were required to attend Passover. Now, over time, as Jews had been scattered throughout the Roman Empire, only Jewish men within a certain radius were required to attend. But still, many of those who lived outside of that radius continued to come. And so it was this amazing thing where the population of Jerusalem would multiply many times over. It was incredible. And Jesus, at this point, is a 12-year-old boy in verse 42. He was an adolescent. The next year, you know, he would be 13. In modern terms, you might think in terms of a bar mitzvah. You know, that idea of bar mitzvah hadn't fully developed then in the same way that it's observed now, but it was considered for a Jewish boy the age of responsibility. And so part of what I love right out of the gate is that we see, you know, Joseph as a spiritual leader. We see Joseph and Mary as taking a great interest in the spiritual development of their children, their sons' spiritual development mattered to them. You know, you notice in verse 41, it says that this was something that they did every year. The thing that stands out to me about that is that observing Passover as a family, traveling to Jerusalem for this observance, was not a game time decision for Joseph or for his family. They didn't wait until the night before to decide whether they were going. You know, it was something that they just did every year. This is what they did at Passover. So what about you? In your life, what do you need to decide now about 2022? What needs to not be a game time decision in the coming year, but needs to be something that's settled in your heart and in your mind before this new year even begins? What do you need to decide now about reading? What do you need to decide now about praying? What do you need to decide now about attending? What do you need to decide now about giving? What do you need to decide now about serving? This is the time to make those decisions for the coming year. And you know what? The years, they go so fast, don't they? Doesn't it feel like we just celebrated Christmas? And you know what? You might as well leave those lights up because it's going to be Christmas again in like a week. I mean, that's what it feels like, right? I think about the first time that I presented this content, the first time that I presented it, developed it, you know, the first version of it was for the weekend following Christmas in 2008. Now, that Christmas was the first Christmas that I spent without my eldest daughter, Lauren. She was, if I'm doing the math right, 16, about to turn 17, and we allowed her to go with friends, a family that attended the church in Austin that I pastored. We allowed her to travel with them and spend Christmas in Hawaii in 2008. So I shared this message just a couple of days after Christmas, the first Christmas spent without Lauren. What I never could have known was that before the next Christmas, my wife, her mother, would leave us. And Christmas 2009, it would just be me and Lauren. I never could have known when I prepared and shared this message that we would never again celebrate Christmas the way we had grown accustomed to celebrating Christmas. That next Christmas, that 09, as I said, it was just me and Lauren. And months later, she graduated from high school, so she was actually 17, about to turn 18, and she went off to Bible college. You just never know. You just never know what's going to happen between now and next Christmas. You just never know what 2022 is going to hold for you. As we celebrated in Santa Monica, me and Miranda and our 14, soon to turn 15-year-old Odessa, I thought to myself, I mean, after this, three more Christmases before she's an adult. You know, it doesn't mean that we won't see her that next Christmas when she's 18, but there's only three more that are just like this. My point again, it goes so fast. We want to make it count. And maybe if you're a parent with children at home, maybe, you know, this is the time to decide that 2022 is going to be the year that we step it up when it comes to praying for our kids and building into our kids and seeking, you know, spiritual growth in the lives of our kids. Part of what's cool about this is that while Joseph had to go, he lived within the radius, he had to go, Mary didn't, and neither did Jesus. But they went not because they had to, but because they wanted to. Joseph wanted them to. It's such a huge difference between having a have-to relationship with God and a want-to relationship with God. The stuff that we've talked about so far, for some people it's like, oh, you mean I have to do those things? But then for other people it's like, oh my goodness, I get to do those things. I want to do those things. Like, I'm all in when it comes to doing those things. Joseph didn't say, what do I have to do? Joseph said, I want to go, and I want to take Mary and Jesus with me. So sometimes we struggle with the mentality. Remember, we're talking first about ornamenting our lives with new mentalities. Sometimes we struggle with the mentality that says, well, good enough is good enough. You know, if I have devotions once or twice a week, that's good enough. If I drop a few bucks in the offering now and then, that's good enough. If I'm in church every other week or every third week or once a month, like, that's good enough. Well, good enough for what? Good enough for who? At some point, I have to ask myself, what is my standard? And who am I trying to please? Now, here's what I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about the treadmill of good works. You know, if you're a runner If you go run on a trail, you actually go someplace, right? You go from point A to point B. But if you're just running on a treadmill, you're running and you're working and you might be sweating, but you're not going anywhere. And I'm not talking about the treadmill of good works where we're doing the stuff because we have to, not because we want to, where we're trying to make God love us more, we're trying to gain his approval. Like, he already loves you infinitely. You're approved in his son Jesus. It's not about that treadmill of good works. But here's what it is about. I mean, it's about thinking like this. If the way you've been doing life hasn't been producing the kind of growth that you might expect to see, then do life different. So many of us, we're too beat to pray, we're too broke to give, we're too busy to serve. The old mentality isn't working. We need a new one. We need a new mentality, one that says good enough isn't good enough for me. I'm not going to gear my spiritual life to the lowest common denominator, but I'm going to ramp it up. So, talking about ornamenting our lives, first with new mentalities. Before I reveal number two, I'm going to take a drink of water. You ready for this? All right, so number two, we want to ornament our lives with new opportunities. Let's pick it up in the text in verse 43. It says, when they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. Now notice the reference to the boy Jesus. I love that. I love that it doesn't just say Jesus. I love that it says the boy Jesus. And what I love about it isn't so much the reference to his age, but the reference to his humanity. You know, Jesus was and is fully God, but also fully human. And in Jesus' humanity, there is this amazing thing because Jesus, well, he knows what it's like to be hungry. He knows what it's like to be thirsty. He knows what it's like to be tired. Who's hungry, thirsty, and tired right now? Like, that probably describes nearly everybody here. Jesus knows what that's like. He knows what that's all about. Jesus knows what it's like to feel angry. He knows what it's like to feel sad. In Hebrews 4, verse 15, it says that Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses because of his human experience. Now, you notice it says in verse 43 that the boy Jesus lingered behind. I love that. And I want you to remember what I said about Jerusalem at Passover, how the number of people in Jerusalem, it was many times the normal number of people in Jerusalem. I want you to think about being a 12-year-old in this environment. Think about the sights and the sounds and the smells. All these people, all these animals, all this joy, all this anticipation, a lot of the things that we have felt perhaps in the lead up to Christmas, but in the midst of this one-of-a-kind city, you know, where people had come to worship God. This was heady stuff. But meanwhile, in verse 44, it tells us that while Jesus is experiencing all that, his family has made a day's progress home. They've left without him. And you might be wondering, how in the world could that happen? I mean, I don't know who here has ever had a situation where you accidentally left a kid somewhere. Hopefully it wasn't a Home Alone type thing, but you know, maybe you had something like that happen. But can you imagine traveling an entire day's journey home before realizing that your son wasn't with you? Now, let me explain how that could happen. When they would travel, I mean, travel in ancient times was dangerous. They weren't getting in a plane. They weren't getting in a car. You know, they were traveling on foot or, you know, on or with animals. And so they would travel in groups for their safety. You would travel with members of your extended family. You would travel with friends. It wasn't unusual for a group of people to grow as they made their way from point A to point B. They might be joined by others along the way, safety in numbers. So you'd have a big group. And as many of you may know, if you hosted Christmas yesterday, if you had, you know, a group of people at your house, that even if everybody comes as couples, almost inevitably it seems like, you know, the men end up sitting mindlessly in front of a football game. The women wind up having a really meaningful conversation in another part of the house, and kids are doing kid stuff. It just happens, right? So that's what would happen in these groups. The women would tend to make their way to the front of the group, and the children would usually be near the front with the women, and the men would usually be in the back of the group. So when Mary doesn't see Jesus, she figures he's in the back with Joseph. When Joseph doesn't see Jesus, he figures that he's in the front with Mary. It's not until they've traveled a whole day and they're kind of regrouping that they're like, wait a minute, you don't have Jesus? No, you don't have Jesus? No. That's how they realize what's going on. So, you know, with all of that in mind, let's pick it up in verse 45. It says, so when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. 3 days. So, I mean, we can do the math. You know, the first day was spent traveling without him, unknowingly. The second day was spent retracing those steps, getting all the way back. And then the third day was spent looking for him there in Jerusalem and ultimately finding him. So, you know, you notice, I mean, let's just think about this for a minute, how upset they must have been. Like that day-long journey on day two must have been just so, so stressful. Did they put out an Amber Alert? Did they put pictures of Jesus on milk cartons? I don't know, but I want you to think about this. This is not the last time that Mary would wait 3 days to know Jesus' fate. Not unlike the wait from Good Friday to Easter Sunday. And may I just interject this thought that if you're in a season of waiting in your life, and I know a number of people who are, you know, whether you're waiting to see how something's going to turn out, you're waiting for test results, you're waiting for a decision, whatever it might be, you know, again, here we see men and women in the Bible experiencing that and yet finding a way to navigate that with God's help and with the peace that he gives. But you notice in verse 46, they find him in the temple, you know, perhaps in the court of the Gentiles, perhaps in the court of women, where these teachers were gathered. You notice verse 46, the reference to the teachers. Now, what I love about this is that, you know, again, this was a once-a-year thing. Passover happened once a year. Jesus was there. The teachers were there. This was a once-in-a-year type opportunity for Jesus, and he took full advantage. Now listen, if you want to grow spiritually, God will give you opportunities to do so. And I'm not just talking about daily opportunities. I've alluded to some of those already. I'm not just talking about weekly opportunities. I've alluded to some of those as well. But I'm talking about, for example, the opportunity provided by a new calendar year. This is a unique once-a-year opportunity to go into a new year. Got a whole calendar year ahead. And I'm talking about even this. I'm talking about once-a-year opportunities, like conferences or retreats that only come around annually. But I'm talking and thinking, too, about once-in-a-lifetime type opportunities. I'm talking now about, you know, so-called divine appointments, God moments, the kinds of things that you can't plan for, the kinds of things that you have to have an eye for. I'm always on the lookout for a God thing. It's so exciting when you start to live your life with this sense of expectation that every day is like brimming with divine possibilities. Like you never know who you're going to meet. You never know what you're going to get to do. These are the kinds of things that, well, you've got to linger behind, quote unquote, to make the most of. You know, you notice these references in verse 46, listening, asking. Verse 47, answering. Listening, 2022 is going to give each one of us opportunities to talk less and listen more. You've heard the saying, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. He was probably trying to tell us something. You've heard that, right? And there's wisdom in that. Like, there's so much wisdom in talking less and listening more. This year will give you opportunities to do that. Asking? Well, 2022 will give you opportunities to ask good questions. I mean, it's an often overlooked thing when it comes to our spiritual growth, the value and the beauty even of taking advantage of opportunities to ask good questions. Of people who can speak into our lives, of people who can share from their experience. Howard Hendricks wrote this. He said, whenever you're around a significant person, keep your mouth closed except to ask penetrating questions. If you're with those who know more than you, pick their brains and take advantage of what they have. Let them do the talking and tell you everything they know. I've seen people meet someone that they admire and watch them talk, like, without coming up for air for the length of time that they had with that person they admired. Never ask that person one question. Never give that person an opportunity to say anything that might be takeaway for them. What a huge mistake. You know, they could have asked good questions. I made that a practice. You know, the 18 years that I pastored Calvary Austin in Austin, Texas, whenever I would have a guest speaker come in, I would always take advantage of any time I had alone with them to ask them questions from their experience about, you know, what they would, if they were in my place, you know, as far as how long I'd been there and how the church had developed and, like, what advice did they have? What would they be doing? What would they be thinking about? And then I would just listen. And I've got all these anecdotal stories of things that different people told me that were really meaningful that years, decades in some cases later, are still treasured nuggets by me. I'm so glad I asked those questions. So listening, asking, and then even answering. Well, 2022 is going to give you time to talk. It is going to give you time to process spiritual things by verbalizing. So it's kind of funny because I realized that 2021 may not have been a very good year for you. In fact, I mean, here I am talking about God moments, and it kind of feels like 2021 and maybe 2020 before it were God forsaken as opposed to filled with God moments. But you never know something, why something happens the way it does. You know, even if 2022 turns out to be the kind of year for you that's filled with delays, that's filled with disappointments, that's filled with difficulties, sometimes that kind of year is filled with even more opportunities than the kind of year that we might have hoped for. Another Howard Hendricks quote for you. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as unsolvable problems. So let's live with a sense of expectation. There's an old saying, perhaps you've heard it, that four things come not back. The spoken word, the spent arrow, the past, and fourth, the neglected opportunity. So, verse 43, take time to linger this year. Resist the temptation to rush into your day. Resist the temptation when a service ends to rush into the parking lot and to rush home. Resist the temptation to rush conversations with your family and with your friends. So we're going to ornament our lives. We want to do that with new mentalities, with new opportunities, and finally, with new priorities. Look with me at verse 48. It says, so when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And he said to them, why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Now stop right there for a minute. You notice in verse 48, it talks about this sense of amazement. You know, his parents were amazed when they saw him with the teachers, not only asking questions, but even answering, you know, contributing himself. I mean, in the eyes of other people, Jesus must have seemed like this child prodigy, you know. From our point of view, it's like, well, yeah, he's God. But, you know, our kids, I probably don't have to tell you this, your kid isn't God. I mean, you know, you love your kid, and we love your kid, and I hope you love our kids. But they're not God, so they're not perfect. But you know what? I mean, they have so much potential. So much potential. I want so much for all of us to have the highest expectation for our kids. I'm not talking about the kind of harsh expectations that crush people, but I'm talking about believing the best about them and believing God for the best for them. Just believing in our hearts and praying for, you know, God to do amazing things. Now, you know how situations like this go. You know, how would you feel if you were Mary or Joseph? You know, you might be a little bit upset, right? It's one of those things where, like, if your kid is in the middle of the street, how many times have you told them? But they're in the middle of the street, and here comes a car, and it's like this scary thing that, you know, oh, thank God, nothing terrible happened. But the minute it's over and you rush out, you know, to meet them, you don't say, oh, that was a close one. Like, nobody's ever said that. It's like, what are you doing in the street? How many times have I told you? You're not supposed to do that. And then it's, oh, come here, you know. The anger is followed by cheers and all of that. So maybe instead of a hug, it started with a near slug, and then there's that hug. But what we have in verse 49 is Jesus' first recorded words. Not the first words he spoke, obviously, but the first recorded words of Jesus in the Bible. And I'm sure that Jesus didn't say what he did disrespectfully. But note the question, did you not know? Did you not know I would be here? Did you not know I would be doing this? It's almost as if Jesus is saying, where else would I be? It's almost as if he's saying, what else would I be doing? I want to just stop and think about this for a minute. I mean, in our lives, can we say that? Can we say that? You're here this morning. I'm so glad you're here. I am so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're finishing out 2021 strong, worshiping with your church family. That is awesome. Would people in your life be surprised that you're here? I mean, I hope not. I hope they would be like, oh yeah, I know him. I know her. Where else would they be the last Sunday of 2021? What else would they be doing the last Sunday of 2021? Or would they be like, no, shut up. There's no way they were in church. Really? Like, what would it be? What would the people who know you say about you being here today? This is all about our priorities. It's been said that a priority is something you put ahead of something else, and everyone has priorities. You know, even if you don't know what they are, or even if they're not what you say they are, everyone has priorities. And one thing that's helpful is a saying I picked up somewhere along the way, and that is to keep the main thing the main thing, make it the first thing. To keep the main thing, make it the first thing. That's one reason why we might give God the first day of the week, like you've chosen to do today. We do this by attending services like this one. We keep the main thing, by making it the first thing. It's one reason why we might give God the first hour of the day, or the best hour. Because some of us don't wake up until like 4 hours after we've gotten out of bed. So could be that for you, it would make more sense to give God an hour in the evening when you're coherent, when you remember who you are. But again, it's that idea of practicing the spiritual disciplines, the practice of solitude, the practice of prayer, the practice of reflection on the Bible. We keep the main thing by making it the first thing. It's one reason why we might give God the first of all that we earn. It's why when we receive income, we first give to God, and then we share with others, and then we enjoy all the rest, including perhaps setting some aside for future enjoyment. But we keep the main thing, by making it the first thing. I read one time, and this stuck with me, that the reason most major goals are not achieved is that we spend our time doing second things first. I think there's a lot of truth to that. You can see how this speaks to the issue of priorities. I'm not talking about being super Christian. You know, I'm not talking about doing more and more and more. But what I'm talking about is just living your priorities. Deciding what the main thing is for you and doing it first. C.S. Lewis said, put first things first and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first and we lose both first and second things. Maybe that in part is what Jesus was saying in the most famous sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So let me ask it like this. Is yours a first things first life or a second things first life? Last couple verses in the chapter. Verse 51, then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. I love this. I love how she kept these things in her heart, as well she should, as well we should. What are you pondering? How have you ornamented your life this month? How will you ornament your life in the year ahead? We see Jesus developing in wisdom. Some would say that that speaks of intellectual development. In stature, speaking of physical development. In favor with God, speaking of spiritual development. In favor with men, speaking of social or emotional development. And it's interesting to me when I think about Like people who make New Year's resolutions, if you are one of those people, if you've already made one or more resolutions, or even if you don't use that word, if you have goals for 2022, chances are they fall into one or more of those categories. You know, if you're hoping this year to learn some new skills, for example, that would be growing in wisdom. Or if like me, every year you're hoping to lose a little weight and get in a little bit better shape, then you're wanting to develop in stature, you know, or if you're hoping to grow spiritually this year, to learn more about God, to learn more about the Bible, to grow in your walk with the Lord, that's in favor with God. Or if you're just hoping to build good things into the relationships around you, or even maybe to make new friends or that sort of thing, that would be growth in favor with men. Just as Jesus grew and developed in these ways in his humanity, well, so too, he wants to live in and through us. He wants to live in and through you in this new year. He wants to help you to grow and develop in all of these ways as we ornament our lives with new mentalities, with new opportunities, with new priorities. It's kind of funny, just a final thought. And then I'm going to pray and Miranda will come up and we'll do a closing song. But, I mean, at least metaphorically, Mary and Joseph, they'd sort of lost God, right? In some sense, they've lost God. Maybe you feel like you've lost God. Do you feel that way? Have you ever felt like, gosh, there was a time when you felt so much closer to him, and there was a time when there was this awareness, this subjective experience of his nearness, of his presence in your life, and maybe it doesn't feel that way so much now. Sometimes that's how it is, right? But when we feel that way, it's never God that's moved. And he's still right there, waiting, with a heart filled with love, arms open wide to embrace us, to hold us close, and to guide us into a new year. And that's my prayer for you guys. Let's just pray right now. Father, we thank you for this story from the life of Jesus and what it means to us and what it teaches us. And we just pray, Lord, that we could take these things to heart and we could ornament our lives in all the ways that we've talked about. These new mentalities, these new opportunities, these new priorities. Lord, you've gifted us with a new calendar year, 2022. But Lord, like everything else you've given us, we want to give it back to you. And we pray that 2022 would be just an extraordinary year where we would follow so close and just experience everything that you have for us this year and allow you to even work through us that others might experience you too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.